Welcome back to Talk Football with Coach K on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM and 99.1 FM. Coach K, we have ourselves a special guest on the line, and I'm going to go ahead and let you do the introductions.
Well, I think everybody is certainly knowledgeable of Paul Feinbaum. And, Paul, I can't thank you enough for taking the time, as busy as you are, to come on with us. And then certainly the national exposure that you have. I've been listening to your show now. You're getting calls from, my gosh, all over the country, Alaska, New York, California, any place in the country. So, and rightfully so, it just continues to gain momentum, and you do a heck of a job. I will tell you again, though, I don't understand how you had the patience to sit there and put up with some of that. Some of those questions.
Well, Coach, first of all, thank you. It's a pleasure to be on with you. And, yeah, it's what we do, and our show is different, as you know. We rely heavily on callers. That's when you're on 20 hours a week, you have to. So the camera doesn't always show my eyes rolling in the back of my head, but I do enjoy it very much.
Oh, well, you do an outstanding job. I don't know too many people that could even come close to doing what you do. But, Paul, the most important thing is your well-rounded knowledge of sports in general, football, I think, in particular. But I'm going to throw out a scenario to you and get your input on it. Now, I've been asked recently about the two or three things that become more prominent. But one is about the SEC, and in particular, I have to answer by saying that I understand. I'm going to start with Alabama. I understand that they have an abundance of talent. They have depth. They have a coaching staff that is going to have them better prepared than almost anybody in the country. And they certainly have facilities of tradition, all the things necessary to be there every year. But I'm looking at something here that's very unique. If somebody told you as a head coach, Coach Paul, we're gonna take your offensive coordinator who just had an unbelievable year, we're gonna take him away. And by the way, your quarterback who just had the greatest year in the history of Alabama football, and maybe one of the best in SEC football, we're gonna take him too, Paul. And by the way, we're going to take your two receivers who will be starting. Both will be early first-round picks and be starting on NFL teams this year. And why don't you throw in that running back that's, according to Bill Polian, one of the best running backs to come out in a number of years. Let me have those people, and now you carry on and pick up where you left off. I think it's going to be difficult. Not that they very well could win the national championship again, but I can't see how they're not going to trend a little to the downside after that much attrition on their football team.
Well, I think you're right. They'll probably be preseason number two next year instead of one, Coach, after all that.
Yeah.
And you're right. But I think the remarkable thing of Nick Saban's tenure is he's been through experiences like this before, maybe not to the degree that you just laid out, but we all know how many offensive coordinators he's been through. We know how many defensive coordinators he's been through. I don't know if he'll – if he's ever lost this much talent, probably, or first-round talent. But he's come close, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And the reason why he will be good next year, maybe not to the degree that he was this year, is that he has recruited at such a high level that there could be some drop-off because maybe somebody doesn't develop as well. But the recruiting class that he just brought in is the best I think he's ever had. And yeah, he will likely lose a game this year, and it just really depends on where that loss is. Because at the end, it's a matter of positioning. He's won the championship with teams that I didn't think were that great. He's lost the championship with some of the best teams I've ever seen him have. So can he navigate the season? He has to go to College Station, which I think will be very difficult. LSU is always difficult. I don't think Auburn this year will be to the degree. His non-conference game, Miami, is very winnable. So I think from a positioning standpoint, he could drop either the A&M or LSU game. And you know, if he doesn't get to the championship game against Georgia, and let's say A&M does and he only has one loss, then he's probably still going to get to the playoffs. And then it's a matter of can he figure out a way. So you're right. I don't think this will be the best Alabama team we've seen. That doesn't mean they can't compete for the championship.
Agreed, totally. Florida is in a similar situation. They're going to have a drastic change down there. I contend the reason that they won last year, had such a productive season as they did, was basically because of one guy, Kyle Trask, the quarterback. You think about it, it's the worst defensive performance or productivity they've had in 3 years. They've been pretty good defensively since the moment got there. They were not this past year. Could not run the football. They had Trask along with Pitts and the other kid, the receiver, who are going to be on the NFL around draft choices. I think Kyle Trask is a sleeper in the draft as well. But Florida's going to lose all that. They're going to have to change their approach offensively. And that's going to be interesting, especially since Georgia, and I want to get your thoughts on that. I think Georgia is really in the driver's seat right now with the quarterback coming back and who's been mentioned as a possible Heisman Trophy candidate. This may be a very different look in the SEC East this year.
I agree with you on Florida, Coach, and I'm a little baffled by the Gators in some regard. I thought last year was one of the most bizarre years I've ever seen in terms of success, but also a lot of failure. And the failure for Dan Mullen was off the field. He thought he handled himself terribly a couple of times. Really an embarrassing presentation, and everyone remembers the various things that happened. I thought the end of the season was a debacle. He handled that poorly. And the one thing I do not understand about Dan Mullen, as successful as he has been, is why he can't recruit better in Gainesville. I don't need to tell you. It's your school. There's no excuse why you can't be at the highest level. And he while he may be a top 10 recruiting class, he hasn't been in the top five. And to win the national championship, to compete with Georgia and Alabama, you need to be there. As far as Georgia is concerned, I think they may have the best team in the SEC next year. They lose some key components defensively. The offense is pretty much returning in mass. And you know, the stumbling block for them will be the most obvious ones. The first game against Clemson, should they lose that game, and then fall in the championship game, they'll be denied. But I think they're easily the best team in the East. In fact, I'm struggling to come up with who the second best is. Whether it's Florida, whether Kentucky bounces back in a big way, I don't think there's anyone else, quite frankly. But I think there's tremendous separation between Georgia and everyone else.
I agree with you, and I agree with your assessment there of Mullen. I thought it was very, very unprofessional, some of the things that happened there. But on to Auburn. I'd like to get your assessment of the Auburn situation, the big change over there, and the new coach coming in. I don't think too many people know much about him. How do you think Auburn looks this year in the SEC?
Not great. I don't think Brian Harsin inherited very much. I mean, he did inherit a veteran quarterback, although that has not been a particularly bright spot. I see them winning seven games, and I think ultimately, while he's put a familiar staff together in the SEC with Bobo and Derek Mason, you know, can Brian Harsin adjust to the SEC? That's not an easy thing to do. He comes from a completely different part of the country. He's now in a totally different culture, and I would just if anyone tells you they know he's going to be successful, they're crazy, because I don't know how you can make that statement. I like him, but you and I have seen people from other parts of the country come down here, and some have been successful, most haven't.
You're right. You're exactly right. And I have to quickly, because I've got so many things I'd like to cover with you, but quickly, could you comment on LSU and Texas A&M?
I really like what Jimbo Fisher has done out in A&M. You know, they have to replace a quarterback, but you know, even though Kellen Mond had a great year, I never completely felt he could lead them to a championship. I think they will be a force, and yeah, LSU I'm still not sure about. And I don't. Last year was insane, and it ended well, which I think masked some of the disappointment of the beginning. But it was I thought Ogeron made a blustering decision hiring Pelini as a defensive coordinator. And I mean, when you have to fire a defensive coordinator after first year, it shows very bad judgment. We'll find out, I think, this year whether the national championship had more to do with Joe Brady and Joe Aranda and a once-in-a-million type of quarterback in Joe Burrow than anything else. There's enormous talent down there, but there's always been enormous talent down there. But I'm still not sold on LSU being all the way back.
Right. Well, I give there's a lot to discuss with the old Coach O, but I give him a lot of credit for that year, the national championship. Now, whether it was by accident or not, I can't say. But to go get brave Joe Brady, and how would you think that he would be ready to take a major college offense like that and do what he did? And certainly he had a lot to do with getting Joe Burrow into LSU as opposed to somewhere else. I put together a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and they did well. They took advantage of it. I want to ask you about getting out of the SEC a minute, but as you might imagine, a lot of fans here, Florida State Seminole fans, and I think they've done a good job at Florida State considering the absolute debacle that was created down there, the mess it created with the previous coaching staff, just to come back, make a comeback. It's still going to take some time, but how do you see the FSU program at this point, Paul?
Coach, I agree with you. I think even though Mike Norvell had a couple of bumps along the way, that comes with the territory, but I think he's building a good program, and I don't think it's going to be that long that the Seminoles are back in contention. I don't think you have to be a genius at FSU to win. I just don't think you can be as bad as what we have seen down there in recent years. And some of them, you have to lay at the feet of Jimbo Fisher. He just simply burned out. He needed to move on. He did. But the next choice was terrible. And I think FSU is a year or two away from being a contender again. And I think that's important because it's absurd to let Clemson have such an easy time in the ACC.
Yeah, that's amazing. I have to excuse me. I have to ask you a question that was that continually is brought up, Paul, and it concerns an overview. I'll start with pro football. I think the National Football League, that if Houston doesn't keep Watson there and Seattle keep, unless they have a deal they can't turn down, it's a good deal for them. And Russell Wilson stay in Seattle. The National Football League is the most successful professional organization, sports organization ever in the history of man. And it's based on a fairly simple financial platform. But they're going to lose a heck of a lot of that if they just allow players to opt out whenever they want to. I want to go here. I don't want to go here. And you can't do it that way. It cannot be done. It would be harmful to the whole league. Now, take another step and look at college football. And as we continue to understand, there are multiple problems with the NCAA and other, but how do you feel college football is going to fare with the continued move toward being able to gain revenue, certain players gain revenue from endorsements and photos and things like that? But certain people are going to benefit. And certain others, most others are not. And if you don't think some attorneys and agents are going to get involved in it, I think you're wrong. But I don't like the direction it's going. I don't even like and it's just me, I'm prefaced by saying that, I don't like this portal, transfer portal. But that's not the gospel. That's just my opinion. How do you feel about, in particular, college football and the direction it's going?
I think it's in trouble, Coach. I agree.
The NFL will survive because it has a better. It has the leadership is better, and you have 32 owners. College football, we saw last year, nearly blew up. There was no cohesion. There was no collaboration between the five Power Five commissioners. Everyone was out for themselves, and that's why we saw three decide to play and two didn't, and then the other two came back. And that has not been rectified. It hasn't. In fact, I think we're farther apart than we were last August. And the NCAA is a paper tiger. This name, image, and likeness is going to happen, whether the two of us like it or not. It is going to happen. And the only thing it is going to do is make the rich richer and everyone else and also ran, which is the biggest complaint of the college football playoff now, and that's not going to change either. So I think fans and the audience will return after the COVID year is over, but I'm not sure they'll be to the degree that they were. And for the obvious reasons that you and I have both laid out here, And it's only going to get worse. You can allow 8 or 16 or 32 teams in the playoff, and it's not going to change anything because outside of a handful of the schools, and it's more than a handful, but we know who they are, the rest of them are not getting any better.
You're so right, and you're so right about the rich get richer because certain schools will be able to provide more exposure, more in the way of revenue than other schools, and that's going to be historically true, and they're going to benefit, and that's where people are going to want to go. So the rich will get richer. Paul, I've kept you a long time. I realize I can't thank you enough again for your time, and I look forward to hopefully having a chance to chat with you again at some point.
Coach, it is always my pleasure to be with you. All the very best, and I can't wait to talk again. Let's do it soon.